Backseat Box Office, episode number 26, for the weekend of March 18th through the 20th, 2011. Hey, this is Tony.
This is Andrew.
This is Jonathan.
And we are the Backseat Producers, and this is Backseat Box Office. A half a year old.
Woo!
that is some serious excitement there. Do you feel it?
I made a drink.
Check it out.
As you were doing the introductions, the first second I froze, I was like, am I second or third?
Yeah, you guys have only been on, what, 20 episodes now or something like that?
23, I think.
Was it the fourth?
I can't remember if it was third or fourth.
Yeah, I knew it was fairly early. I know I only did a couple solo, thankfully. I don't know if I'd still be doing it if I was doing it solo.
So I saw that you were dethroned this week, Tony.
I was.
Your title of lowest score.
Well, there's been some attempted negotiation about that.
Really?
Yeah. So, Julie, as we know, posted her scores for the first time. She posted some picks last week for the first time, and she thought that, and you know, staunch feminist that she is, she thought that being a girl, she should get bonus points. and because she was the first girl, as she put it, not female, girl, that posted this. And I said, you know, my response back to this is, so what you're looking for is boob points, one for each breast. two points. Congratulations. She said, no. Because that only gets me to 13. That's not enough to be above you in the last place. She said, I think I also need to get one extra point for each child of yours that I have bore into the world. Oh, I see where this is going now. Oh, and it's my birthday this week, so I need to get one extra point. Because her birthday is tomorrow, March 17th. So, I said, no, I don't think we're going to go that route.
Well, you know, to help get you some cover, I mean, you did call in a second opinion from a neutral party to do a recount.
That's true. I did.
Yeah. I did. I think they came back with the same results you did.
That is true. That is very true. The results were posted in public on Twitter as well. Well, sort of, except because the person is locked there. Their tweets.
Thankfully. Yeah, now that person's being followed by Julian Mast has to be more careful about what he tweets.
Yes. Not really. No. Normally it's, well, she follows Adam, so come on. Seriously. Do you have to really be careful at all about what you say? Normally it's one of those things that, and normally it happens on the day that I'm not paying attention to Twitter, and he gets on a roll, as it were. So, what were Adam and Luke getting all gay about? What? I'm sorry. What are you talking about?
Really? I mean, that
go
just
read
means
Twitter.
It's Thursday, yeah. Really. That's all that means. It's Thursday.
It's Thursday. He's amping up for the weekend.
How is this any different than any other day?
It's really not. It is really not.
I think the best story I've heard is when Adam and Luke and their wives went out to dinner, and I guess Adam and Luke were getting quite excited about some gaming conversation, and Melina like looked at him and was like, do you guys just want to go make out for a while? We'll leave.
Well, I mean, it's an established fact that Melina and Luke are sister wives.
That is true fact. True fact.
Actually, I believe I was the one that made that point. So, yeah.
So you're no longer on the bottom, Tony. How's it feel?
Feels pretty good. But as it is, I've always been on the top. So,
for the moment.
Oh, big talk. Big talk.
It's especially big talk considering my uncertainty for next weekend's box office picks.
I think everyone should be fairly uncertain. After looking at some of this, I have a feeling we could get some really close numbers with some of these, some of the existing movies that are carrying over from last weekend, some of the new releases.
Mm-hmm. Speaking of last weekend,
you might as well talk about it. Come on, we're waiting for it.
Well,
you've held on long enough.
I may not be the fastest guy, but I do eventually reach the finish line. And this past weekend, I picked up the final host to finally reach 100% weekend.
Congratulations. Woo!
I've had Queens, We Are Champions, pretty much on a continuous loop since, Monday afternoon. It's been great. It's been awesome. So Battle LA, it didn't bring in $26 million. It didn't bring in $28 million. Brought in $35 million to come in number one this last weekend.
Mostly because you went, didn't you?
I did. I took four or five people. I'm not like Jonathan. I didn't have the whole city of Denver going, but I did grab my friends.
The whole city of Columbia, though, so four or five people.
You just dropped your vast fortune on buying out every ticket.
That's right. That's right. I just want to buy every ticket and just give them away.
Look, I have $15 million. How many tickets does that buy me? I need to have this be number one.
Then Rango dropped to number two, which I also saw on Sunday. It brought in $22.6 million this past weekend.
So I'm curious, what did you think of Rango?
When I saw the previews for Rango, I was not overawed. It didn't impress me. It looked okay.
I'm with you. I'm with you so far.
I went to the movie, and the movie was much better than I was expecting.
Yes.
Yeah. They leave a lot of stuff. They leave the best parts out of the trailer, unlike some movies that put the very best parts in. No. They leave the best parts out.
I don't think any of the best scenes were even close to referenced in the trailers.
No, I mean, you get a vague idea of the plot line, but yeah, the movie was fantastic.
Yes.
Very good animated film, much better than I was expecting. Well worth my money.
And Spirit of the West?
Spirit of the West was great. And his white chariot with gold statues.
Oh, God. It was like, they are not. They are. Oh, they are.
They went there.
They win.
I love that armadillo.
The armadillo was great. Awesome.
Yeah.
As his spirit guide.
Yeah. He's like this, shaman of the West type guy out on a vision quest, and yeah. He was very, very entertaining.
Yeah.
And then and actually I liked Battle LA. I saw it Friday night. It's got some stereotypical characters. The dialogue is probably average, but it's a fun alien action movie. If you just want to see a good action movie leading into the summer, it's pretty good. And I started thinking about it. I think it'd probably been since July that I saw a big, big action movie on the big screen. So it was a nice change of pace.
Awesome.
But anyway, Red Riding Hood, Jonathan, it came in number three with $14 million. How's that make you feel?
Hey, I expected it.
But you believe in the worst in people, so you're expecting it to do well, right?
Yeah, no, I mean, everybody matched my expectations. I mean, and what did I say last week? I said that, well, what's-its-nuts, Beastly pulled in $10 million in 2,000 theaters. I said that Red Riding Hood thus would pull the same crowd and get about $15 million in 3,000 theaters.
Yeah, and you were close. I mean, Red Riding Hood ended up pulling in $4,600 per theater and brought in $14 million, so you were right on the money.
I mean, I got 100%, but I got the maths right.
The Adjustment Bureau dropped to number four, brought in $11.5 million, and then Mars Needs Moms, despite Julie Mast's best wishes, came in number five with $6.9 million.
It did not do well.
No.
Beastly, a couple other things that may have showed up in people's top five. Beastly was number six.
I think
and that was
probably,
it. That was yeah. it. For the seven people we had, no one picked anything below sixth. What eventually was sixth.
Which is a nice change from last weekend.
Right. Yes, it is. Yes, it is.
So, I ended up, I picked him exactly right, got 100%. Tony, how did you do?
I was close. You and I had fourth and fifth place reversed. So, I got 60%, but I got 23 points.
Very nice. Very nice.
Yep.
Well, I, since nobody's going to ask me how well I did, I'll just tell you.
we kind of know.
Yeah, I didn't have as much faith in Battle Los Angeles. So that didn't work out too well for me.
No.
But I thought Rango would do better, but apparently all those Californians wanted to go see their city blown up, so... But
or everybody else wanted to see their city blown up.
This is true. I got three through five right, and then just switched Battle Los Angeles and Rango, which of course cost me an extra point, so I'm at 22 for the week.
So to be fair, especially in the light of the last couple of weeks, we all did pretty darn well this week.
Yeah,
we all did really well this week.
Yeah, I'm not going to complain about a 23. Not by any stretch. In fact, I think the host did really well, and for the most part, the listener contributions were better than average.
Mm-hmm.
Both William Paul, who've joined us with picks for the first time this past week, he got a 19. Rich got a 19. So Rich is now has 3 weeks. Two more, and he loses the asterisk. So,
two more, and he's no longer Barry Bonds.
That is true.
And I'd like to point out, William pulled that 19 down, even though he did not have Battle LA in his top five.
Yeah, that's right. That's pretty impressive.
Yeah,
that was his. He was the one person I think that had Beastly in his picks.
Yes.
Uriah got a 16, so he's up to 15.5 now, because he had a 15 before, now he got a 16. Hey, at this rate, next time, 17. So roll with it, brother.
He's working it, man. He's working it. He had a good theory. I mean, if you read because he put out his reasoning on the post last week.
Right.
He actually had pretty sound reasoning, but it didn't quite work out.
Sometimes it doesn't.
We've all been there.
Yes.
Multiple times.
And then who's in the basement, Tony?
That would be my beautiful, adoring, and loving bride, Julie.
I tell you what, Julie, the next time you need a recount, come to me.
Because we all know Jonathan doesn't understand the scoring system.
No. I understand perfectly. And actually, I'm sure that I can find you four or five extra points.
I have a tweet from you that says the exact opposite, Jonathan.
That was just posturing.
Okay, that's fair.
Yeah, so just for the sake of really rubbing it in, Julie's...
Don't think of it as rubbing it in. Think of it as explaining what went wrong.
The debriefing,
that's right.
The post game analysis.
This is the officer asking you, now, sir, tell me exactly what happened when you heard that tire start squealing.
Yeah. So for her first pick, number one, she picked a Mars Needs Moms.
And she even wrote me a little note after that pick in the post as well.
Yes. Yeah, the note was, yes, Andrew, I'm totally taking my kids to see it so they will know to appreciate me more. Her biggest problem was she did not make time to take the kids to see the movie. This was her fault.
Yeah.
If she would have gone, there would have been a wave of other moms taking their kids.
She was, well.
It would have made the difference.
If she'd taken her $10 million, it would have canceled out Andrew's $10 million.
That's right.
It would have swung the whole story here. Things would have been completely different.
And as we all know here on Backseat Box Office, you lose double points for every spot your number one pick is off.
Yeah, so position. Right there, she lost 8 points. And it only kind of went down from there. number two, Red Riding Hood. Number three, Rango. Number four, Adjustment Bureau. Which, if I'm not mistaken, that was spot on, wasn't it?
Yeah, that was.
Yeah, so,
to be fair,
so she's got a 20%.
She one and five.
Yeah, she's got a 20%.
Yeah.
Which, we've had much higher scores and had 0%.
This is true.
So really.
Yeah, Jonathan's exactly right. If she'd switched to one and two, she would have had like a 22 or something.
Yeah, one and five.
If one and five had been flopped, she would have been tied with me. It looks like.
Yeah. No.
I think she would have been 23.
No, she would have
had 23.
She would have had 23. So yeah. I mean, really, not bad. I mean, for the first time. So we'll see. Now that we've picked on her, let's see if she comes back and does it again, or if she just poisons your brunch on Sunday, Andrew.
Julie needs to come back. I mean. Everyone is a little rough their first time.
Yeah,
I have great faith and confidence in Julie's prognosticating ability.
Yeah, she'll get it.
She looked at a young Tony Mast and said, "This man's going to do great things," and she was right.
Yes, she said, "This guy is going to record hundreds of podcasts at some point, even though no one knows what podcasts are yet." I see it.
That's right.
So. I'm done talking about last week. Let's move on.
Moving on.
Nice transition, sir.
Hey, that's how I roll.
You know what?
Hang on. Transition. Bam.
You know what it turns out is a valid transition strategy?
What's that?
Not having a transition.
So let's talk about the movies coming out this week. We've got Limitless from Relativity. Lincoln Lawyer, and of course, the sci-fi comedy of Paul. You mean like that, Jonathan?
Pretty much, yeah.
I gotta say, I want to see
I'm
Paul.
I'm not even like giving you shit. I'm serious. I learned this in my rhetoric class. One of the valid Aristotelian transition strategies is just to not.
That's fair.
All right, so
was that,
I want to see Paul.
Was that Tony drinking?
Yes.
Yes.
Shut down the conversation. This is my role on this podcast.
I want to see Paul.
You do?
I do. I think it looks funny.
Oh, I don't know, man.
It's Simon Pegg. What's his nuts?
Nick Stone.
Using that phrase a lot. Yeah. They did. They did Shaun of the Dead. They mm-hmm. they worked on
which I love.
They worked on Hot Fuzz, which was brilliant.
I loved. You know, when I watch this preview for Paul, they have all these laugh lines, right? They have these lines coming from the alien, and none of them make me laugh. I find none of them amusing, unlike in Shaun of the Dead and Hot Fuzz.
Really?
Yeah. Well, I mean, at least the trailer I posted on the box office results this week. That's the only one I've watched. To be honest,
is that the one now? Is that the one where? They show the alien holding the bird, resurrecting it.
And then eating it.
Yes. See, that's such a great moment because it's like... Julie and I were watching the commercial where they have that same bit. And she is a big fan of Starman, the movie, the Jeff Bridges flick.
Sure.
Mm. One of his powers in that is that he brings stuff back to life, or he heals it through his touch. So it's like the alien does this, and you know, between that and E.T., you kind of get the, oh, he's got the alien power to heal. Just pops in his mouth. It's like, what, am I going to eat it dead?
Wouldn't eat a dead bird. Yeah. No, I think I didn't catch if Peg and dude wrote it.
Stone.
Yeah. I'm still going to forget his name. wrote it, but they know their stuff. I mean, these guys,
yeah,
when they parody something, they do it right, you know. But so the alien, I think the alien is supposed to, I don't know, I got the impression that the alien was supposed to be that cliche, like, the guy you're supposed to laugh at, but you don't. I get the feeling that the movie is probably going to be more about the two humans' reactions and that kind of thing, and that's where the humor is going to be and what they deal with, so.
Yeah, so I just checked on IMDb. Simon Pegg and Nick Stone did write Paul. And the director of this has directed some episodes of Arrested Development. Let's see. Some episodes of Undeclared. He directed Superbad, Adventureland. So I enjoyed most of these things that I've seen. I haven't seen Adventureland yet, so I don't know, but
for what it's worth, which is, you know, nothing, Rotten Tomatoes has it at 70%.
Well, I think Paul
this week is going to be your battle, L.A.
I have it in my top five. You know, I don't have it number one, but
I had it in my top five too. Battle, L.A. I was still wrong.
But you did well. You got 22. I'll be happy. I'll be happy with a 22. I'll be happy.
Oh yeah. I would.
Yeah. So for our listeners, Paul is, as we've said, a Simon Pegg, Nick Stone film with these two nerds out basically taking a tour of UFO sites across the American Southwest when, of course, they find an alien.
Named Paul.
Who, you know, asks them for their help and ends up riding along in their RV with them and, you know, hilarity ensues.
You say that so convincingly.
You know, I like the two of them.
Hilarity ensues.
I like the two of them. I like the other movies they've done. I hope it's a good movie. I just, the trailer definitely left me feeling flat, though.
Okay.
So let's move on to the next movie.
To be wrong.
I hope I am, honestly. This isn't a burlesque situation. This isn't Justin Bieber territory. I want this to be a good movie.
But if I can't,
you just have little faith.
What's the point of being here?
Hey, speaking of giving people crap, let's talk about this new movie from Relatively called Limitless.
So, all right, the way I see this, this is the new hotness versus the old and busted. The new hotness being Bradley Cooper, and the old and busted being Matthew McConaughey. Because let's face it, they both kind of have the same thing going for them.
True. I was seriously afraid that you were going to say Robert De Niro for some reason, and then I was going to completely disassociate myself from this podcast.
So
the De Niro hit squad doesn't come after me.
Are you kidding? One of my co-hosts on my other podcast would come after me.
It was just, all that got mentioned was Limitless, and so I wasn't expecting bringing in Lincoln Lawyer in the process, too. So I'm like, whoa, 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 old and busted De Niro?
No.
You're going to die, sir.
No, De Niro stays on the new hotness until, like, 20 years after he's dead. So
no, yeah, De Niro's going to be the new hotness until he shows up on the recently dead guy cast.
Maybe.
Yeah, so I mean, Bradley Cooper crap, I'm just useless tonight.
The Hangover.
Thank you. I was gonna say A Team actually, but Hangover works too. Yeah. A Team Hangover. It stars as this man who is given this experimental drug, unlocks the full potential of his brain, and you see what happens and where he ends up afterwards. And of course, Robert De Niro plays the sinister corporate guy.
Yeah, I don't have real high hopes for this. The premise just seems a little goofy to me.
I didn't even read the synopsis because it's being put out by Relativity. Therefore, here are the other three movies Relativity has put out: Season of the Witch, all right, Take Me Home Tonight,
mm-hmm.
and. It's not The Quick and the Dead. It's Way of the Warrior.
Yes.
none of them have done well.
The Quick and the Dead is.
Yeah, that's Sam Raimi back in a long time ago. But no, it was The Way of the Warrior. All these have come out in the past, you know, 6 months, and none of them have done well at the box office. Some have done really bad, like Take Me Home Tonight, and some have done mediocre, like, say, Season of the Witch, but which brought in $10 million on its opening weekend. So I have no hopes for this film, strictly based on the fact that that's the studio that's putting it out.
So
what do you think, Tony?
Well, I'm reading the synopsis on Rotten Tomatoes, and one thing that strikes me is interesting. Robert De Niro's character's name is Carl Van Loon. So that's all I've got.
thank you for sharing.
Thanks for coming out tonight, buddy.
Maybe.
That's what I've got. So I guess he's a writer suffering chronic writer's block, which is that's terrible. So his friend introduced him to this new drug that can tap into his full potential. He can recall everything he's ever read, seen, or heard, learn any language in a day, and comprehend complex equations, and beguile anyone he meets as long as he keeps taking the drug.
I will say I love that part of the trailer where he's like, I actually found math useful. Yes!
That is a good line.
It's me! Stupid maths.
So I guess he uses this to take Wall Street by storm, and this is where he catches the eye of mega mogul Carl Van Loon, who invites him to help broker the largest merger in company history. They also bring Eddie to the attention of people who are willing to do anything to get their hands on the drug. And I guess the drug has some brutal side effects. He's got stalkers, gangsters, and police officers coming after him as he's running out of the drug.
Yeah, from the trailer, it sounded like he was losing time and was also, if you stop taking it, you die.
So, hey.
That's how De Niro gets his hooks into him, because he's like, I took your shit. Sorry, I just used another swear word.
No,
it's fine.
I don't care. I'm editing this week, so it'll go.
Yeah, I'm not editing this week, so feel free.
That's what we have the explicit tag for.
In honor of our 6 month anniversary and St. Patty's Day tomorrow. It is tomorrow, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
For us, that is something
with whiskey and green stuff.
Fantastic. For us, that is only 3 minutes away. By the way,
this is true.
So
yeah, very true.
I should go wake up Julie to wish her. I should go wake up Julie to wish her a happy birthday. This sounds like a wonderful idea.
Yeah. Take a shot of whiskey with you and just wake her up, say happy birthday, happy St. Patrick's Day, and then pinch her if she's not wearing green.
Yeah. This is not going to go well. I'll need a place to sleep. I'll be sleeping on the couch.
Hey, I'll have a hotel room tomorrow night that you're welcome to come bunk down in.
There you go.
We have one more movie to talk about.
Do we? Oh, yeah, Lincoln Lawyer.
We alluded to it earlier, but we haven't actually talked about it. And actually, this is the most interesting movie of this coming weekend to me.
Really?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I've kind of wore out my feelings and my drive to see legal dramas on the big screen since I watched so many seasons of Law and Order and shows like that I don't really get the appeal of them as much anymore, and the ones that are well done are projected enough that within the first 5 minutes. You got it. You know what's going on. They've kind of lost their flavor for me, as it were. The one thing I was most compelled about to find out about this movie, though, is why is it called The Lincoln Lawyer? It's like, is this some reference to Abraham Lincoln and his style of being an attorney? Or
no, it's much better. Much better than that.
No. He runs his business out of a car, and it's a Lincoln.
A classic Lincoln.
Wow.
Car is gorgeous.
It is a cool looking car.
And just so you know, just so people don't get the wrong idea, it's not like he's driving this car around. No, he's got a chauffeur who drives around this classic Lincoln while he hangs out in the back seat and runs his law practice out of it.
Yeah, it's an interesting character, but I don't see...
Quite honestly, I would be more compelled to watch this if it was a television show with that guy driving around in his Lincoln with his with his crazy chauffeur having adventures.
Because the story as it stands, I mean, the what I got from the trailer is just that he gets hired to defend some rich bastard who, you know,
is accused of murder.
Yeah, pampered and accused of. Well, is it murder or attempted murder? It seems like it's attempted murder
and
but then
rape.
He links it to other murders that seem to have the same MO as what the guy is accused of doing to the girl, and then it turns into a "Are you going to defend me or not?" kind of thing, and it's just like,
you see, you know? I'm more interested in the characters of something like that. Like, so I'm a fan of The Mentalist. I actually like that show. I think it's really clever. I like the way they've developed characters. And if anybody's watching it this season, like the last 4 or 5 episodes, they've changed the status quo twice in exactly the layout of the team and the hierarchy of the people working on the team. And that is really cool to me. So I like that kind of story developing around the case of the week.
Mm-hmm.
And this just feels like the case of the week without any development. You know, they'll try and force development in there in a 2-hour story, and it's like, I don't know. For me, most of those broadcast television is doing stuff like this really well.
Yeah.
And I'm not really compelled to go, you know, plunk down $10 to go see what I can just watch at home that is made for watching at home, that's made for a serialized story, which is kind of nicer than the one shot. But that's me.
I think you make some good points there, honestly. I mean, you're bringing me around, but to your way of thinking, honestly. But I don't know. There's something about that trailer when the biker gang pulls up around the car and surrounds them, and this big burly man comes to the back window and says, "Are you going to defend me?" And he says, it's going to cost you money. And the guy hands him $10,000 and you know, $100 bills in an envelope, and the biker's right away.
Yeah, and that's what I'm... It's a great character.
Yeah.
It looks like a great character. And I want to see what he does with the biker dudes, you know? And I'm with Tony. I want that to be a case of the week.
Yeah.
You know? I want to see who else this guy riding around in his Lincoln helps out. I don't really care about the big murder mystery that's supposed to be going around it, you know?
For the rich, spoiled white kid?
Yeah, rich, spoiled white kid tries to kill someone and gets caught. Ooh,
and because quite honestly,
did he do it or didn't he?
See, because quite honestly, we've seen that a dozen times. If you've watched Law & Order or SVU or any of these shows, you've seen that story play out half a dozen times at least. Yeah.
Sure.
The courtroom dramas that are compelling, that are interesting, are the ones like A Few Good Men, where it's like that was so different from what a courtroom drama was at the time, that, you know, it was unique and interesting, and I really didn't care to see that guy outside of that case, because that case was a character developing case. It wouldn't have been interesting to maintain his story beyond that, because he went from being somebody who was not in the courtroom to somebody who had to be and had to work as an attorney in the courtroom. So it was kind of a different story for that. If this is this guy's MO, and it's just this is just another case for him, it just happens to put him in jeopardy because of the people that are surrounding it. Okay, that's fine. I mean, it's not. It's probably a good story, and you know, that's what Netflix is for, as far as I'm concerned. You know,
I mean, I think you make a good point, but To be fair, I kind of feel like all three of these movies, none of these movies, I think, are going to be blockbusters. I think they're all fairly average, and I'm really not sure how they're going to compete against each other, because I think it's really kind of a crapshoot which one's going to come out on top in terms of box office returns.
Honestly, I think if any of them have a longer run, it's probably going to be The Lincoln Lawyer. And this kind of is going to get into my analysis a little bit. I think it's going to do okay at the box office, but I see Lincoln Lawyer being one of those kind of movies that it'll do okay, if not poor, in its first week, but won't have nearly the drop-off as other movies will. I think it's just going to... Yeah. If this is a solid movie, it's going to get good word of mouth. And from, you know, from Rotten Tomatoes right now, it's rocking an 88%. So... And that's with 24 reviews. Not a lot, granted, but it's mostly positive. Mm-hmm. If it gets good word of mouth, and the acting talent is solid in there. You've got Matthew McConaughey, Marissa Tomei, which what has she been doing lately? And you know what? I saw her in the Oscars. She still looks damn good. Mm-hmm. Really. William H. Macy, Ryan Phillippe, I don't know the other lead actors they have listed here, but yeah, so I think it's one of those movies that it might do better during the week than it will on the weekends. I think it's just going to get a different audience than the people that are going to rush out to go see a movie on the weekend.
It seems to me like a secondary movie. Like, if I'm going to go out to the movies this week, I want to see Paul. I want to see Limitless. You know, I want to see the new stuff that's coming out. But when I've already seen everything and next week isn't looking all that interesting to me or something,
I've got nothing else to do on Tuesday nights.
Yeah, then I'll go back to The Lincoln Lawyer. Oh, you know, it's like I kind of want to see it, but I don't want to spend my, you know, my Friday night on it.
Right.
That kind of thing. So. Strikes me as the secondary movie rather than the primary movie. I already saw Battle Los Angeles. Now I'll go see Matthew McConaughey.
Yeah. It also does not surprise me in the least, knowing what I know about the movie, seeing the trailer and everything, to find out that this was a novel.
Mm.
It does not surprise me at all. And it also wouldn't surprise me if that biker gang that he defends doesn't come back to protect him at some point. Because, you know, let's face it, when you're talking a movie, this is basically going to be two case of the weeks, and one's going to be the biker gang, one's going to be the punk kid killer, almost killer slash rapist, whatever. And at some point, the bikers are going to come back and defend him, if not be the ones that vindicate him for something.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, those dirty bikers are going to be the good guys. It just feels cliche.
Yeah, it's a formula.
Yeah.
Now, Jonathan, I thought it was interesting. You were talking about how The Lincoln Lawyer is kind of your secondary movie, but out of the three movies coming out this weekend, which one's your primary then?
I mean, if not, I've been saying I'm going to go to the movies for the entire run of this podcast.
No, I'm just going to stop that. This is just a hypothetical.
If you went to the movies this
alternate
weekend.
Dimension, I actually was a moviegoer instead of just pretending to be one on a podcast. I think I would go see Paul personally. For me, if I had to rank the three as which ones I'd see Paul, then Limitless, then Lincoln Lawyer. I think Limitless looks. I like the concept behind it. I think it looks like it's a little, I don't know, played out. I kind of can see where the plot's going. But I would still kind of like to see it go through. And, you know, how do we... Part of the problem with the trailer is I'm pretty sure they gave away the first hour and a half of the movie. But...
Between the trailer and the synopsis.
Yeah.
I'm so agree with like, you.
But I still kind of... I like the idea. And so it would be nice to... I would want to go see the idea bounce around. The Lincoln Lawyer is like, meh, you know? It's like, I've watched The Firm, I've read The Pelican Brief, I've, you know...
Hey, A Time to Kill was a damn good book, though.
Sure.
That's a different era.
Yep. I'm just saying, that is a damn good book.
No, it's a damn good book. I'm not going to deny. And, I mean, even
the movie's John pretty Grisham good too.
Back
Sam,
in his day was
Sam
was
Jackson. Sam Jackson as that guy. That was fantastic. Sorry, went off a little bit there.
No, the 90s were great. We all love them, Tony. We get it.
More of the 80s, but you know, whatever.
Wasn't I thought A Time to Kill was like 91?
It was. Time to Kill. Actually, The Firm was the first book published, but A Time to Kill was written first.
Oh, crap. I'm thinking of To Kill a Mockingbird.
No, you're thinking To Kill a Mockingbird.
That's a little farther back.
That's a different time period. No. Yeah, no, A Time to Kill was also really, really good.
Yeah, and the story, as I understand it, is he wrote A Time to Kill, submitted to the publisher, and the publisher's like, this is amazing. Your story focuses on the rape of a young girl. So, sorry. Do you got anything else?
This cannot be a debut novel. This is an established author story.
Yeah. So he did The Firm, and The Firm was really where he made his name. And Time to Kill was released. If I'm understanding this right, Time to Kill was released after The Firm, but it was written before The Firm.
Yeah, I think so.
A Time to Kill was his first novel. It was published in 1989.
Okay.
The Firm came out in 91. It sold 7 million copies.
So maybe they just didn't give it the budget.
We could just be talking out our ass.
No, I'm
because I never do that. Because I never do that.
While you guys were talking, I went ahead and looked it up.
At least I had the chronology right.
Yeah. So, I mean, it was right there, 89, 91. Yeah. 89 was Time to Kill. And it doesn't... he sold over 250 million copies worldwide. Oh, that's all of his books put together. Sold more than 250 million copies worldwide.
The Firm was made into a movie before A Time to Kill was.
Yes, it was.
Right.
So
A Time to
that's
Kill.
That's what happened.
Maybe yeah, times,
that could be that
the
could
movie
be what
theaters
thinking.
Was like, no, you can't tell that story until you're an established movie author, writer, person.
Yeah, because the Time to Kill movie didn't come out until 96.
Anyway, the main point is...
What was the main point there, Jonathan?
I don't know.
Okay. Picks! Let's go into picks.
Let's do it. Andrew. It would be your prerogative and honor to
I'm using this. I'm taking lessons from Jonathan here on my transitions. I'm gonna start using this more.
See if we can break somebody's neck with how fast we're changing topics.
So mine is the honor and the privilege to go first.
Go.
I know what you're trying to say there, right?
Do it.
All right.
Yes. Andro.
So number one, one more thing for the listeners. On HSX, all of these movies were within $7 a share of each other. So really, it's a dead heat as far as HSX is concerned. So that does not help us any either. So number one, I picked Paul. Number two, I had Battle Los Angeles. Number three, I put The Lincoln Lawyer. Number four, I put Rango. For a few minutes, I thought about putting Limitless at number five, and then I thought to myself really hard about the, I don't know, 7-8 points I lost by putting Take Me Home Tonight at number five. I said, screw that. And so I put Red Riding Hood number five.
Wow.
That was just pure hatred on my part towards Relativity.
You really don't want to get a 25 next week.
That is not the list I would have expected.
No, I've got to be honest.
I mean,
me neither.
even if I'm confused.
Lay it out your questions.
All right. Even if Battle Los Angeles loses 50%, that's $18 million. You think Paul is going to pull in $20 million?
Yeah, I think it's distinctly possible. I mean, if Battle LA, which I think we all agree is not high art, can bring in $35 million in its opening weekend, I would not be surprised if Paul, with, you know, two very well-known people with a long history, like you guys were talking about earlier, of doing these parody movies like Hot Fuzz and Shaun of the Dead could bring in $20 million its first weekend.
Okay. I'm not talking you out of this.
No, I don't intend to. I'm just curious.
I will tell you why I differ when I give you mine.
Well, let me ask you. What do you think Paul's going to bring its opening weekend? How much do you think it's going to bring in?
I'm speculating about 15. It's only in 2,700 screens. There's a big difference in the number of screens.
Actually, if you look at that, it's 2,700 plus.
Yeah. We found out that that means like 2,704.
Well, some days, and then some weeks, as you might remember, there are other weeks where it said 2,700 plus, and it turned out to be 3,400.
This is also a rated R comedy.
It wasn't Shaun of the Dead rated R?
I don't think it made those kind of numbers.
Well, it's...
Yeah,
I don't know.
That's my thing, is I don't think... As much as I love Simon Pegg and other guy, they're... I'm just saying that now that you're annoying. But they are...
I like it.
they are not... They were kind of cult classics. I mean, Hot Fuzz was awesome, but... And part of the thing, too, is, like, this is a movie that is targeted directly at you.
Yeah.
And you're not interested.
Well... I don't know if it's directly...
It's a comedy for nerds, you know?
Yeah, I look at this in the same light that I look at, like, a Scott Pilgrim. Except I honestly think this has a lot more mainstream appeal than something like a Scott Pilgrim does.
I think Simon Pegg has been differentiating himself, and, you know, his name is out there far more than...
And let's face it. Simon Pegg and Nick Stone, fine. They're established. You know what? Screw that. Seth Rogen is the voice of the alien. If anybody's established, if anybody's going to be the recognized name in the movie, it's going to be Seth Rogen in the mainstream.
Yeah. It's
the thing.
Hot Fuzz pulled in $6 million in its opening weekend. So.
Right. So here's the thing. Let's say it does bring in $15 million. Let's say it comes in with that amount. What you guys think it will? That's going to make it second.
Yes.
So I lose 2 points.
Okay.
You know.
Actually, you lose 3.
Well.
At least.
Something
possibly.
Else has to be in its place.
Yep.
Yeah, depending on exactly how it all works out. I mean.
Well, that's fine.
Three's likely.
You're welcome to have what you want. I'm not.
And I appreciate your completely unneeded or unnecessary approval. Unwanted.
I don't approve.
No, you approve of me being able to make my own choices, right?
No.
I thought that's what... I'm pretty sure the audio will back me up on this.
I acknowledge your ability to do so. I do not necessarily think that it should be. Anyway,
you know, after 26 episodes, I think it's pretty well documented. We can all pick what we want to pick.
I am more than happy to imagine the burning wreckage of your 25.
I mean,
wow.
No one's going to remember your 100% after next week.
Let me say this. I've been wrong before. I'm sure I'll be wrong in the future. But you still have more 0% than I do by a considerable number.
And we do have... It is noteworthy that this is the first time in a month that you guys have not been tied.
That's true. That's true.
Tied in the leaderboard and tied in your week-to-week score. Even though you guys pick differently each week, for the last 3 weeks, you guys have had different picks and managed to get the exact same score.
Yeah.
Yes. And so for the running totals, Tony's still in first with 21 point something. I'm in second, and then I think Jonathan's like 2/2800ths of a point behind me.
Yeah.
Very close.
And William and Rich are not too far behind.
No.
A good week, and they could topple all of us.
All right, Tony, what you got then?
All right, so...
I'm done harassing Andrew.
All right, so I've, as established, I think, at this point, I have picked Battle LA at number one. I think with its baseline of $35.5 million, it's probably going to pull in around 20 this time around. Paul is going to be number two, and I think it's going to get about 15. Now, HSX actually has Limitless above Paul. But I think Paul is going to get more of its money in the opening weekend than Limitless will. Because I think the geeky fans are going to be more likely to see it in its opening weekend than they will in the successive weekends. Rango, I think, is going to pull in number 3. Limitless at number 4. And I've got to tell you, Rango and Limitless, in my picking of those numbers, I only had them about a half a million apart. So I am not confident at all about 3rd and 4th. And then I'm picking Lincoln Lawyer in 5th. I think it's going to pull in maybe about 10 million. Still, not much of a difference between 2nd and 4th in my picks. Only $5 million difference. Granted, it's 15 to 10 million, but those are my picks.
All right, what do you got, Jonathan?
Well, I am fairly confident that Battle LA will be in 1st still. I think I agree with the $20 million figure. I think it can still manage to pull that. I get the feeling, especially with as successful as it was, that people are looking for, ready for the summer blockbusters, and like, let's get rid of this kind of lousy winter that some of us have had.
Yeah.
You know, so the big action, it doesn't have to be deep. We've had deep in King's Speech and everything else. I'm also fairly confident in saying that The Lincoln Lawyer will be number 5. Again, I tend to agree with about the 10, probably 8 to 10 million dollar range. It just, because it's just, well, you already listened to all of our reasons for that. I am not real happy with 2 through 4, though. I think all three of these movies are going to be disturbingly close.
It's going to be a 3-way tie. You're going to call it.
It wouldn't surprise me too much.
No, it would not.
I'm going to go with Limitless at number 2 because it's been getting a pretty big media push. I mean, even I know about Limitless, and I don't have TV. I don't listen to any, you know, I don't typically expose myself to advertising. I still know about Limitless. It was, of the Relativity movies, as I recall, it was the only movie that had a Super Bowl ad.
Oh.
Maybe Season of the Witch did, but Limitless had a Super Bowl ad. So I think it's been getting a lot more media than the others have. So I'm putting that to, I'm going to say Paul at number 3 and Rango at number 4. But I'm not real happy with any of those. If I could just say 2 through 3, some selection of these 3 movies, I'd be a lot more pleased.
Yeah, yeah. I'm with you. All right, so prior to recording, we actually got 2 other sets of picks for the week. One from William Paul, and he posted his on Twitter. And his picks are Battle LA at number 1, Paul at number 2, Rango at number 3, The Adjustment Bureau at number 4, which, okay, and Lincoln Lawyer at number 5. And then I get an email from Jeff, and his picks are Limitless at number 1, Paul at number 2, Rango at number 3, Battle LA at number 4, and Red Riding Hood at number 5. So
that's a significant drop for Battle LA there.
Yes, it is.
Well, and hopefully we'll be looking for picks from Rich, you know, Uriah and Julie later in the week.
Yeah, they've been Rich and Uriah have been fairly consistent with picks, and hopefully we haven't scared Julie off from making picks.
Nah, she's got to make her comeback.
Yeah, she does. She does. We're calling you out, babe.
So nowhere to go but
make
up.
It happen. Use your birthday luck.
Ooh. And St. Patrick's Day luck.
That's right. It's combined. It's exponentially lucky.
So hey,
let's just remember that I had the first 0. I had the first 100 as well.
That's true.
That's true. No,
there is precedence for
lows, you know, and highs.
Phoenix like rising from the ashes.
But I've been on top the whole time, and I had the lowest low until this last week.
Let me tell you what's wrong with your guys' list. What's going to hurt you is when Limitless opens at number 8. That's going to be the painful part for you guys. When it brings in, you know, like 7 million.
That is going to be far more painful for Jonathan than me. Oh, well, 2 points more painful.
Oh, I admit I'm putting a lot of faith in a studio that hasn't delivered yet.
But. I'll tell you what, if Limitless opens at number 8, Julie will have a 1 week run.
Sorry. I don't know, man.
Sorry, Jeff.
Hey, Limitless is not my number one pick. So
no, Limitless is Jeff's number one pick, though.
That's right. I see what you're saying. Yeah, poor Jeff.
That's gonna be rough.
And what'll be rough is if it gets number one.
Yeah, that'll also be rough, but you know,
not as rough.
I mean, William didn't pick didn't have the number one pick in his top five, and you know, he still picked up 19. So
yeah,
you know, obviously it's not the here's the
it's
problem.
Not fatal.
You cannot have the number one in your top five. It's not fatal, like you said. If what you pick for number one is in the top five, that is fatal.
That's rough. Yeah. That's where it gets bad.
Even if it is in the top five, Julie has proved that it still gets.
It gets bad fast.
When you reverse number one and number five, things don't go well.
No.
That's rough.
Yep.
All right. So, you know what? I do have one thing to pimp because I don't remember doing it last week, but it is active and has been active for a week and a half now. Lightsabersource.com. Probably one of the greatest art and fiction sites on the web right now. I am not saying this just because my child is the Lightsaber Source, but it's pretty awesome. I will point out, I can't remember exactly which day, because actually there have been new postings every day since we started actually posting stuff on the site. And for the near future, I think like through into April, we're going to have daily postings at the site. The one that I personally have to point out as a favorite of mine is the March 14th entry for A Very Haunted House. Especially because the artwork. So he had artwork that was this haunted house, and then his story. The house had a door that actually opened up. So there was this flap that you open the flap, and there's an image of what you see when you open the flap, and it is this zombie that is like stitched together. There's an eyeball hanging out of its head. He's in second grade. This was a class project. This was something he turned in for a grade. I'm amazed we have not had a call from school yet.
It's a Halloween project. I mean,
yeah, it was. It was a Halloween project, but still,
you don't get upset over zombies in a Halloween project.
No,
come on,
no.
You okay there?
Oh, and the one he posted today, the story is particularly good. If I might sample it, just because it's kind of funny. So the text that they're given, because they're given a writing prompt and then they complete it. Now the prompt that they're given is: year after year, a mountain giant slept under a blanket of snow. The people lived quietly nearby. No one dared to disturb the giant. Everyone had heard about his terrible temper. Then one day, ellipses, and then he gets to write. Now, he also got to draw a picture. The picture he drew is of a volcano erupting. The story is, then one day, it erupted. Ash clouds rose. Lava burned. The cries of people filled the town. Everything was burned. It was a disaster. Most of the people were killed. It was a very sad day for most of the families.
So, Tony, you know, I hate to tell you this, man, but you should start saving for the therapy bills maybe now.
Oh, my.
I just can't. That's a brilliant start to a story. I mean, most of the families.
That's the key. Most of the families. Most. It was a very sad day for most of the families.
I want to know what families didn't have a sad day.
Exactly. So, lightsabersource.com. Check it out. That's all. I'm done.
All right, sounds good. Actually, I've been going there. I've been quite enjoying the daily drops of new content there. In crickets.
Sorry, I was reading.
So this weekend is Fear the Con.
Woo!
Andrew's going to be attending. There's going to be an after party on Saturday night, which I believe last year I had testicles on my shoulder.
Were they Rob Justices?
They were Rob Justices.
Do you honestly need to ask that question?
No. I felt that was a pretty high percentage bet right there.
That was a safe bet. The threat was made. I was sitting down facing out at the group at the entire group of people as he came around behind me, and I could, you know how when somebody's in your personal zone, you feel their presence even though there's no physical touch, there's no reason you should know that they're there. Maybe it's like the hint of the shadow. So I feel this presence over my right shoulder. So I am able to look out at the rest of the crowd and see their reactions to whatever it is Rob is doing over my shoulder. And I see that there's like this anticipation, then there's horror, then there are people looking back to see the train wreck, then there's more anticipation. People keep looking because they're wondering, am I going to turn my head to gaze directly into Rob Justice's balls? I did not. I maintained eye contact with whomever was looking. Because it changed from time to time. There were people that looked, then looked away. Yeah, it was quite a time.
I mean, let's be honest. If you haven't seen Rob Justice's balls, you're not really trying.
No.
I mean,
no.
You're probably a Luddite. You probably have no contact with the internet if you haven't seen his balls somewhere.
This is true. This is
really
true.
I mean, if it's a party involving the Pania, there's a disturbing amount of man flesh that's going to end up somewhere. First Gen Con, we're playing Are You a Cultist or whatever? Do You Worship Cthulhu? And Adam decides to pull his ass out and stick it in my face.
Classic Pania.
Sausage Fest, I ended up in a tree just so I could back away from... Ended up in a
face
bush
planting
so
into Rob's balls.
Rob's balls. So, you know.
Though, to get the entire picture, they had just been doused in alcohol.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
In freezing cold alcohol that just happened to come from my pimp chalice.
That's the reason I was that close in the first place, because that was brilliant. But.
So. And on that note, it has been a wonderful half year so far.
Yes.
And I'm having a good time. I look forward to making it to a full year.
And Tony, I'm looking forward to seeing you in about 11 hours, I think. Roughly.
Okay. I don't remember what time we said lunch was.
Let's side off and I'll remind you.
Yeah. All right. See you guys next week.
Bye.
And that's the end.
And this is how a podcast ends.
Jonathan. I don't want to cough during the intro.
You ready, Jonathan?
Do whatever I want during the intro. Thank you.
That's true.
I am the talent on this show.
Wait, what?
That's why I don't have to do anything, clearly.
Not clearly. Sure that's how it works.
You all clearly. Are the menial workers. I mean, that's the way it works. You edit, you post things, write stuff.
That's true.
You know, if you apply that to me, I'll agree with you, but I don't think you put Tony in the menial worker. He's more the mastermind.
That's true.
I mean,
the evil genius?
That doesn't argue against my being the talent, though.
No, it doesn't. I'm not going to argue this point.
I think, okay, when you call yourself the talent, if you're saying that your talent is having gigantic hands, I will absolutely agree with you. The fact that the guy in Vegas who had never heard or met you was like, man, is there going to be enough space in here for him and his hands? those hands are almost internationally known.
I was not... No, these hands are internationally known. I mean...
We've made sure of that at this point.
Australia. I mean...
True.
I'm not kidding. I was not exaggerating when I said that my hands are better known around the podosphere than I am.
I'm not arguing with you. In fact, like, I just said that was your talent.
Hey. All
right. Let's do this.
Oh, my. I do have large hands.
Let's count it off.
What does that mean? I don't even know. God damn it.
You're going to make me choke.
99. 98.
Wait, no. It's more like this. It's more like 1, 2, 4. No, 5, sir.
All right.